for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
On the show, it's Cannibals and Dirty Hippies. Hey, Patreon members!
I don't know what to say.
It's Aaron and Hillary.
Thank you for being in our Premium Plus package at Patreon.
That's a lot of alliteration.
I love alliteration. It's my favorite type of English thing.
So far, off to a great start, right?
Okay. This was worth $5. I'm just saying, right there.
Hope you like your t-shirt, because that's as good as it's going to get with this, guys. All right, thanks for joining us tonight. We are doing the original, did it first, did it best, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I want to know, what is your background with this?
So, this movie scares the shit out of me, like, still. And when I first started getting into horror, I would skip this when I would go to Blockbuster.
Well, it's very, like, the VHS cover is very stark, right? It just has like, Leatherface on the front, but then you flip it on the back, and it's got this, like, grainy-ass photo of Leatherface hanging some, about to hang somebody on a hook.
Yeah, no, I was really, like, I don't think I'm, like, I had done, you know, the Halloween, I'd seen Exorcist already,
right,
which I was in love with, you know, the Freddy, the Jason, you know, demons, Night of the, yeah, shit, like, I was really starting to love horror, and the box cover, or, you know, the back of, the front, I was just like, whatever, but just terrifying. I was 18 when I saw this. And
oh, you were a late bloomer.
And it scared the shit out of me. I, you know, halfway through, all the lights go on. I am covered up to my nose. Like, I honestly really thought I was, like, watching a snuff film. Like, somebody's dirty home movies, and this really actually happened. And every time I rewatch it, still that original, you know, intro starts and just the scenes of, and it makes me feel dirty and not in the way I like.
Okay. Totes relate. Okay. Yes. I think I probably saw this. This was one of those movies my brother gifted me. Like, he gifted Evil Dead, the original, and a couple other, like, just VHSs, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre was one of the ones I had, and I remember watching it and just being, like, visibly uncomfortable, like, just, because it is a very stark movie. It is a movie that has no music at all, just ambient tones.
Yes. Yeah, just, like, the outside nature, trees rustling.
And then, like, boom.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. There is nothing to escape the levity. There's really no comedic humor.
Oh, there is no levity in the movie. Like, it's fucking, like, it is dark from Jump Street.
Yeah. Very, very dark. And honestly, the only time that I even remember, like, kind of chuckling was when, you know, they pick up the hitchhiker. I honestly don't know if he has a name. I'm sure.
No, he's just called the hitchhiker.
Okay, so when they, and just him in the back seat, there were a few times where I was like, "What? Ha ha!" And then
laugh at the mentally ill man,
right? Who's, you know, just teaching us how to make head cheese, and you know, I felt very blessed that I, to date, have never eaten head cheese, and I felt better about myself.
Right, okay, so I have heard of head cheese.
Yes.
I know nothing about it. I also know that with this movie that they left the head cheese out for, like, days on end, because when they filmed this movie, they filmed it in very hot temperatures with no air conditioning whatsoever. So the head cheese had actually been sitting on the dining room table the entire time and was making people sick. Like actual crew members were, like, either passing out or vomiting.
Yeah, no, that obviously makes sense. And just him, like just being so come over and have dinner and like I was like, don't do that.
My brother makes the best head cheese ever.
Yeah, and just I took your picture, give me $2, made me think of like New York City and like tourist traps. And so I found him. Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No, I actually have not. Have you?
Once, but nothing happened. Like, there's no fun story.
See, like, I always imagine if I picked up a hitchhiker, it would be like in that Heart video, all I want to do is make love to you.
You get pregnant and you keep a baby. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Right. It's like, we went back to a hotel room. We fucked our brains out. I never saw him again. And then I wound up with a kid.
Yeah. I can't say a kid would have stuck around, but... good for you, Heart. You know, just lessons in love, I suppose.
Oh, I remember when that video was banned from MTV.
Oh, yeah, no.
So, interesting thing about Texas Chainsaw Massacre is that it starts off, just like you said, it starts off with this, like, really dark, deep-voiced narration by John Larroquette of Night Court fame. And also Second Sight. If you haven't seen it, check it out. And he is just the most, like... dour, like fucking way more than fucking Robert Stack. Like this is like if they could have just gotten John Larroquette to do the Unsolved Mysteries narration. But yeah, I mean, he's talking about basically that an idyllic summer afternoon turned into, you know, some kind of crazy like massacre.
Morbid and macabre. Yes, and I think yes. It was one of the first times I'd really heard the word macabre.
Yes, me too.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I'm 18, so that's.
You went to college for longer than an hour.
And didn't know the word macabre, so thanks, public education.
Killing it.
Hashtag. Yeah. Right. Fucking college girls right here.
Hashtag fuck them kids.
That's right. Fuck your education. So it starts off with that, and we kind of like right off the bat, we get this like creepy corpse combination of body parts and like things that are rotting in the sun, and it looks like a scarecrow.
Yeah, I remember the like the flash photography of
yes, in the opening, right? Yeah. I totally forgot about that. Yes, okay, so in the opening we get this like, yeah, we get this like flash of light and this like ding noise, and it's basically and then like things being photographed that don't look like they should be photographed.
Right. It reminded me when I watched Seven.
Yes!
Yeah. That seemed like such like an homage to Texas
Very
Chainsaw.
Much so. Absolutely.
And just that noise of and I kept like squinting going, what am I looking at?
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
And then that made me kind of think of The Ring. Uh-huh. When they show you like the video, and I'm going
like, weird bits and pieces where you're like, what is that? Is that an ink blot?
Right. And just my brain trying to put pieces together without having a picture
or any context whatsoever
of what am I looking at? And just how many great movies have used that type of thing? I don't have a word here.
Hold on.
Yep. Yeah, no.
Device.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, we can use that. And just was like, this was probably so fucking powerful in 74.
Can you imagine? So how funny is this? Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and there's a giallo, there's an Italian horror film called Torso. They are released at the same time in the theater. Can you even imagine? Like, you're like, holy shit, I need to know whether to like vomit or go take a shower.
Yeah, of just like a double billing.
Oh my God.
Like the therapy people would need.
Too much.
Right, yeah. Right. Let's go to the drive-in. We're going to see this Texas Chainsaw Massacre followed by Torso.
This sounds like a good time.
Right. And just how many people were there at the end.
Yeah. Well, like, can you imagine, like, if somebody took me, like, seriously, I am a big horror nerd, obviously, but if somebody took me to see Texas Chainsaw Massacre on a first date and expected anything more than, like, a kiss on the cheek and then, like, I need to go home and take a shower, it's like, really?
No, yeah,
I wouldn't fuck anybody if they took me on this movie for the first date. There's no way.
Unless I got so scared that I didn't want to watch it anymore.
Oh, right. And then you were like, hey, yeah, let's have sex to blot out the memory of Texas Chainsaw right. Massacre.
Like, I am visibly scared and don't want to be alone. So how about right. I fuck you halfway through? So this way, I don't need to watch the rest of this because right. I'm disturbed already.
That's right.
So
that's right.
Your dick is going to be less scary.
That's right.
Hopefully.
Consider my penis as a solution to your fear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I that so makes good. Sense to me. That's yeah. a problem.
No,
that totally makes sense. That's yeah. why we're, that's yeah. why we are who we are. Let's just put it that way. So then we meet our van of dirty hippies.
Yeah, no, I do love the dirty hippies, and I do love that they're like going to Texas to visit granddaddy's grave.
Right, and it's so weird because they're going, yeah, they're going to go visit granddaddy's grave and then their grandparents' old house, which is abandoned.
Right.
Totes abandoned.
Yeah, I was very confused because I was thinking maybe like grandma was still there,
right. or I kind of thought somebody was still there.
Yeah, right? Or yeah. or the house is like in good condition, so we're gonna go, but we don't have to worry about driving back. We're gonna stay in my grandparents' like estate or right. whatever.
Yes,
but there's
way more sense.
Yeah, there's yeah. air conditioning there.
Oh,
like,
God, right?
yeah, there's something yeah. there besides a rotting fucking building in the middle of hot ass Texas. And we're going to convince my brother, who is in a wheelchair, to come with us to the rotting, abandoned house. That's where you kind of lose me, sis.
And then there's another thing, okay? He gets, you know, the fuck is his name?
Franklin.
Franklin, thank you, God. Okay, Franklin gets a really bad rep because everyone hates Franklin. Everyone talks about how he's the worst character in fucking horror movie history, how he deserved what he got, yada, yada, yada. But think about this. This is a person who is in a wheelchair, okay? Like, they don't have any real agency over their bodies, you know? I mean, in order for them to go pee, they have to, like, wheel themselves down a ravine, basically.
Yeah, I was always confused as, like, why they didn't just pull over and let him pee.
Right.
Like, in the van?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like yeah. he doesn't need to get out of the van to
no.
go pee.
Exactly.
He's pissing into a can.
And, I mean, men have been doing this for fucking... I dated a yeah. lot of fucking dudes that peed in bottles and thought that was the greatest thing in the whole wide world while
yeah.
they were driving.
Yeah, while driving.
Yeah,
yes. When I was in prison, I had to clean up the highways, and that's what the highways in New Jersey are full of. Bottles of trucker piss. FYI.
No kidding! Yeah. Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, $4 a day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I had a DOC orange t-shirt, side of the road, a garbage bag, and a stick. And it was just, yeah, I was just like, why is there bottles of piss everywhere? There, you know, everybody else was just like, what do you think truckers do? And
right.
I was like,
they just pee in bottles yeah. and then they throw the bottles out.
Yeah, throw them out the window.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, all right.
So we meet our hippies and we're, you know, we have Sally, we have her brother Franklin, we have Sally's boyfriend who has a really fabulous afro.
Yes, Jerry.
Yeah.
not Jared. Yeah. Jerry.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with Jerry. Mm-hmm. Feel free to let me know in the comments.
I believe you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then Dirk and Kirk. Dirk.
Is it Kirk?
Dirkle Kirkle. Could be Kurt, Kirk,
yeah.
Dirk.
We're so glad that you joined us in our Patreon and yeah. are paying money for this kind of nonsense.
Well, it opens up a dialogue. Because what do people love more than telling other people they're wrong?
Oh, absolutely.
So gatekeeping horror fans,
yeah.
if you're listening, please feel free in the comments to tell us we are fucking wrong about the character names.
Yes.
We really love it.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely my favorite. So fuck it. His name is Dirk now because it's probably Kirk or Kirk. So Dirk Simpson, whatever. Yeah. No, he gets a last name now. Yeah. He's a whole character. He makes grandma's risotto from scratch on Sundays. He's going to have a whole backstory.
Oh, man. So good.
Holy shit. Wow. You are glad you tuned in, aren't you?
Yep.
All right. So they're in the van. And then in the back of the van, we have, so I guess the couple's up front. It's the couple that's up front. So it's Sally and Jerry. And then
Franklin, Dirk, and Pam.
Pam, right. Yeah. And Pam is reading a really big, thick Zodiac book.
Yes. Of just how Saturn is now in retrograde. I didn't realize Saturn could go into retrograde because I don't really know what retrograde is.
Okay, so retrograde.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I know. Fun shit that I actually know. Right.
Get your pumpkin spice latte. Tell me all about retrograde, Erin.
So anyway, like for instance, when Mercury goes into retrograde. So Mercury is the planet that controls communication. They control technological communication, people's communication, communication in general. When Mercury is in retrograde, which is why everybody fucking freaks out and they post all the memes and they're like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Fucking Mercury is in retrograde. Mercury is then going backwards, which means that all of the communication, all of the technology, all of that shit basically fails.
Wow.
That's why they tell you, if you are so inclined to believe the Zodiac world, that if you are planning on doing things like signing a contract, getting into a relationship, making a big financial decision, expect delays or expect it not to fucking happen.
Wow. So can Saturn go into retrograde? Because she's definitely talking about Saturn.
Yeah. So when planet, so if the planet, so planet right, any planet retrograde. Can go into retrograde.
Earth goes into retrograde.
Well, I don't know about Earth. See, you know what? I don't know if Earth goes into retrograde, but I know that the other planets do. And then when they do, it's like a fucking cattywampus situation. Now, I guess what she's referring to with Saturn in retrograde is that maybe that means like all the wackadoos come out.
I'm so learning about retrograde because I was one of the ones that made the fucking joke. I got nothing.
So the funny thing is, even though I'm not like the biggest like believer in, you know, like it's like, well, my horoscope says this, so I must gotta make sure not to, you know, take a shit today or whatever. Like that level of zodiac and fucking horoscopes is not something I personally believe in.
Yeah, no, that all makes sense. Yeah, now I learned something. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, she's got this big, thick Zodiac book, and she's talking about how Saturn's in retrograde and how it basically means that things are a little, you know? First they pull over to let Franklin go pee, which is just, I swear to God, watching this poor, we're not talking about an electric wheelchair, right? We are talking about a person who has to wheel themselves down this hill of, like, rocks and grass.
Yeah, I was very, why don't we let him pee in the van?
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge, like, Folgers coffee cup. So it's not motor function issues. You pull over, we get out with our legs.
Oh, yeah.
So
fucking, yeah, exactly. So us trying to pee.
You pee, right. The car is not moving, so you're not rolling around.
Right.
And then we just throw the can on the side of the road for the highway patrol to go and pick up.
For those poor prisoners who have to pick it up.
Yeah, I'm so fucking confused as to why he has to get out of the van. I actually hate that for him, and it really made me dislike them.
Yeah.
Now, I do think Franklin is, he's very
uncomfortable. He does get very, yes. The thing about Franklin that I think is kind of touched on, but is not really like, not really discussed, because what you really think about is like Franklin's in a wheelchair and he's kind of a dick, right? But really, if you look at that, he has cognitive behavioral issues.
Yeah, I didn't think he was a dick. I thought he was autistic because he was very incapable, it seemed, of not being able to read the room. That we don't want to talk about how cows get slaughtered.
Right.
How, like, he just kept the things that he find interesting most normal, quote unquote, like that's such a shit word, but mm-hmm. adults don't want to talk about.
Right. Like, it's a social cue issue.
Right. Thank you. Like, I eat meat. I realize I'm a hypocrite. I do not want to know how my burger got onto this plate.
Absolutely. Don't show me a picture of Angelina Jolie and then show me a picture of John Voight's ball sack.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to know where the things I love come from.
Perfect example. Oh, so good. So good.
So we're in the van and they decide after Franklin pees and then almost literally falls down the fucking, he falls out of his, doesn't he fall out?
Oh yeah, he falls out. Yeah. It looked like when another truck went by, like threw something at him because welcome to fucking Texas. And yeah, like he, yeah, it's not good for Franklin. Like he probably gets hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
Which I never want for really anyone.
No, and then they get back in the van, and then they decide to pick up a hitchhiker. Now, this is the 70s.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was actually a big thing. Before we had Bittaker and Norris, before we had the Hillside Stranglers, before we had this, like, rash of serial killings that was happening, people hitchhiked all the time.
All the time. It was like it was a known mode of transportation. Like, oh, how are you getting there? Are you going to take the bus? Are you going to hitch? You got like just, and if somebody said, yeah, you know, I'm going to go hitchhike to wherever, it was not thought of in like, you're doing what? Like, absolutely fucking not. I was just like, oh, okay, you know, that's fine. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they pick up. Although, see, that's the thing. It's like, I can understand them picking up, like, a woman hitchhiker, for instance, because I think that that would be, like, a little bit less threatening. But they pick up the skeeviest looking hitchhiker ever.
Well, it is Texas. And he is walking in the hot sun.
Right. And they're like, oh, that poor hitchhiker. He's going to die out here.
Yeah. I mean, it is like a busy highway. But so I don't, it doesn't need to be you guys. But I also understand there are, you know, five of us and one hitchhiker. It's a van. It's like the right thing to do.
Right.
Yeah. Like I understand the logic of, you know, we're the bigger number. We're big, two strong guys, Jerry and Dirk.
Yeah, right. I don't know, man. Yeah, I guess exactly. I guess it would be different if it was just like a group of women and they were like, let's get that guy hitchhiker to come in here.
Yeah, no. Yeah, they in the 70s, they probably still would have. However,
okay,
in like this day and age, like I could definitely see my old man driving with one of his friends and seeing a guy who needed help and picking them up, even if they looked a little skeevy or whatever, because men just have, they just don't see the world that we do.
Well, awesome. Like, we see that and we're like, hey, you know, rape fest.
Yeah, yeah, because we know about the Bittakers and the Norrises of the world.
Bro. Okay, so they pick up this hitchhiker. He gets in there and he's got like this like really cool like shoulder satchel.
Yes, no, I did. And it seems like it has everything in it.
Oh, God,
it
yeah.
was like a Mary Poppins bag.
here's my camera. Here's photos. Here's teeth. Here's
yeah. yeah, just random things.
Here's my switchblade. Or what is it? A razor. It's a straight razor. Right?
It's yeah, no. Yeah. Oh, that he gets from his boot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Good memory.
Has a knife and he's digging in his fingernails.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can't pee in the truck, but we're going to use a knife in our hands. Okay. And yeah, then the creepy hitchhiker guy grabs it and just starts cutting his hands.
Yeah, yeah.
Of all the places to start cut, I've never understood this. So anytime that people do like a blood oath in movies or or here, or they right. cut like their whole palm across. And I go, if I'm going to do a blood oath with somebody, one, I could do a finger prick.
Right.
Or it would be like a cut here
right.
of work, because I'm not going to use this part of my arm. Just for the people who are listening and not in the room with us, which is everyone in the world, I'm pointing to a forearm. Like, just, yeah, get some fucking blood from me here, or a leg, or not the middle of my fucking hand. I hate it.
It's also really uncomfortable to watch.
Uncomfortable to watch, and it's going to be uncomfortable to heal, and you're going to need to, you move your fucking hand all the time.
Exactly.
Sorry.
So, hitchhiker.
Take my soapbox.
So, he takes Franklin's picture.
Yes.
And then demands that they pay him $2.
Yeah, $2 for the picture, which totally reminded me of New York. People just hand you things and then just demand money for them. And they're just like, no. So he sets it on fire in the van. That's and they're
weird.
Like,
yeah, it's weird because he has like this thing of foil that kind of looks like he's doing meth.
Yeah, or yeah, like chasing the dragon, like heating up the foil and then, you know, just sucking up smoke. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to the junkies.
Yeah, I was going to say, sorry, my bad. I'm a cocaine alcohol person. Hillary has way more experience in this department. Sorry,
yeah.
But yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Talk to the experts, newbie. The fuck are we doing here?
I defer to my junkie podcasting partner. So yes, he burns the photo in effigy, and then they decide that they're gonna fucking like, oh, and then he pulls out the straight razor,
yeah,
and then it attacks Franklin,
yeah, and then cuts Franklin, and they kick him out of the van.
Get out of the van. Oh, and then he draws on the van with his blood, or yeah, with Franklin. Is it Franklin's blood?
No, it's his from cutting his hand, and yeah, it just like marks it all up and is kicking it and everything else, and just
being a fucking gangly weirdo.
Yeah, yeah, just being a being a weird guy just on the side of the road in Texas.
So on the way to grandmother's house, okay, question.
Yeah.
Because timeline wise, have they already stopped at the gravesite, or is that after? Because when do they go to the gas station and they first meet, you know, Mr. Sawyer?
The way that I remember it, again, Dirk. So I thought that they pull into the gas station and, like, go to the gravesite. Like, it's almost one scene is okay. How I remember it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like, and somebody takes them over because it's just a bunch of like weird rednecky guys that are drinking. Redneck's probably offensive right. to somebody.
They're just whatever. They're like sitting out on like they're almost like sitting out on like a porch, but it's like right. a porch that is also a gas station /
barbecue.
Yeah, and you can go there. That's a thing.
Okay, so is this the gas station that? Okay, because I know that they took the house and they made that into a restaurant / B&B. Oh.
Yeah, no, I would just love to do it, you know, like,
oh yeah, oh no, bucket list motherfucker.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those fucking things that, like, if you're going to Texas, like, really, what are you doing there?
What else are you, exactly, why else will you fucking go there?
Right, yeah, so, yeah, no, I, again, got it from, I believe, Facebook, so definitely an accurate news source that you can go to the gas station and the barbecue joint, and it's still open, and then you go and you can stay in the Airbnb that was the original house.
Absolutely fucking phenomenal. And by the way, if any of our fans have actually done this, please reach out to us. We'd love to know the story of that.
Oh yeah, no, I want all the details.
Do you take pictures?
Like all the pictures, all the videography. How do you remember it? Is Dirk there? Is there like, I want everything. Do they have cats? Did you name the cats? Did the cats come with names? I want so many fucking details. I will make you crazy.
Fantastic. All right. So they end up looking at like barbecue, and what's really interesting, there's this great shot. I know you know what I'm talking about. There's this shot, which is just basically like the barbecue pit, I guess is what it's called. And all it is just red
mm-hmm.
and like some smoke yeah. and then some shit that's hanging that doesn't look like actual barbecue.
Yeah, no, it's questionable meat choices. And just, yeah, the way the shot is for, again, your brain goes, what am I looking? Because I'm supposed to just think it's, you know, like a brisket. And right. my brain goes, you know, I've seen brisket.
Right.
And I don't think it looked like that.
Yeah, it looks very strange. And then they meet Drayton Sawyer, who owns the place, mm-hmm. and he's telling them, okay, so if memory serves me correctly, because I'm trying to get all of, I want to make sure that this is the right TCM, is that where he goes, no gas, gas will be here tomorrow?
Yeah, later today to tomorrow. The tankers empties.
Oh,
yeah, because mm-hmm. I kept thinking to, like, you know, we're gonna need to explain why we can't leave, you know, and just, yeah, there's no gas, and
I know, don't you ever like when you're watching this, aren't you like, bitch, why didn't you fill up before you,
right? I'm so like, you did absolutely no because this isn't a spur of the moment this is your grandparents' estate, so, and you used to come here all the time when you were a kid, like, you have no recollection of the town or, and because I remember going to my grandparents and I can tell you where four gas stations were from her home. I could tell you which
one. And a Dunkin' Donuts.
Right. Like where, which one had the best candies and everything. Like I just remember that shit. So it is difficult for me to think back to like, hey, we need to fill up here because when we get to my grandparents' estate that now we're going to find out, you know, is abandoned, which they know, weird. And so we need to get gas here, this at, you know, the Buc-ee's on the highway.
Right, exactly. So it's almost like, it's like, well, do you guys not, I mean, you've passed the gas station. Like anyone who is ever highway driven, like you're driving on some kind of a road trip, you immediately look at your gas. In fact, sometimes there's signs that say, yeah, check gas, Long Bridge.
Yes, yeah, check, last gas for 117 miles.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's just like,
pull over.
Right, get gas here. And that actually really bothers me about these kids.
Yeah, it does bother me. So they're like, all right, well, we're going to go check out grandma's house. So they go over to grandma's house, which is, like, decrepit.
Yeah, like, and as soon as they pull up, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, this was my room. You know, I used to come here for the summers.
What's up with the, is there, are they spiders?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like these like little like black bugs that are in the corner.
Yeah. Which is multi legs. So I say spiders.
Yeah. I was going. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I was saying spiders. Yeah.
And just, yeah, no, the noise that they make. And I mean, like we are not talking a handful of spiders. We are talking like an infestation of fucking loud ass spiders that I believe it's Dirk, you know, just like walks by and just like, it's like an entire fucking wall, right, covered in spiders that are like running around. And he's,
well,
like,
that's odd.
Yeah. That, yep. Hope they're, you know, not deadly. Like, just like, doesn't even say anything. Doesn't acknowledge them. Nothing. Is just like, yeah, that tracks.
And they tell Dirk and Pam that there is a swimming hole.
Yes. Yeah, that I, so this was, I remember this so fucking clearly. They talk to Franklin and Franklin goes, yeah, there's a trail right past the two sheds. And this is actually where I first remember going, Franklin had an accident and now he's in a wheelchair, was my thought, because he remembered going on the path in the fucking woods. So if you're in like a crappy wheelchair now, the way that you got to the swimming hole must have been that you walked, so right, your legs worked
exactly,
but so this must have happened, but we never find out like, no, what Franklin's backstory
is. No, we never find out, right. But at the swimming hole, which now is no longer a swimming hole, they say, the girl Pam actually says, I wonder how Franklin got here. And they say, Sally must have carried him.
And then they see another house and decide that they are going to go. So here's a question for you, because this is yet another like WTF, mate. Why would you, if you were like, hey, I'm with this group of people, you know, we have a van, we have a fucking decrepit Grammy's house or whatever. That is another house. That is a person's residence. That is a person's home
in Texas.
Right. Why on God's green earth would you be like, you know what, I think I'm gonna go in and ask if they have a towel? Like, what, why are they, oh, were they gonna ask about the gas?
Yeah, okay. They heard something making noise, like a generator, something like that, and they go, oh, they must have gas now.
Okay, now see, that's coming back to me, and now I freaking forgot.
Yeah, so it's, okay, we're, you know, going to go and ask them to get gas. My issue is that he's going to trade them something for gas. And I was just like, you don't have any money. You're in your swim trunks and a fucking towel. You have nothing to trade besides Dick or Pam.
That's right. This is the subtitle for this episode. Dick or Pam.
Dick or Pam. But I'm going to go there. I'm going to walk onto their fucking property and then into their house.
Oh my God.
And I just went, and this is why you deserve it. In fucking Texas.
Right.
Instead of just waiting at the gas station.
Yeah.
Like you were told.
Like you were told to fucking do. Uh-huh. So go see decrepit granny's house. Okay. Now go to the fucking gas station and wait there with Sawyer. Okay.
Yeah. No, the Sawyers.
Yeah. Yep. And just fucking wait there, eat some goddamn barbecue, and go home. Mind your fucking business.
Yeah. It's really ridiculous. And so, yeah. So he walks into the house and he's kind of like, he kind of like looks around for a little bit and then he like trips in front of this doorway. And this is one of the most iconic moments in horror and also one of the most like, what did I just fucking witness? Do you want to paint us?
No, you.
Oh, okay. Okay. So he trips, which is already kind of an uncomfortable feeling. Like when you're watching it, you're like, oh God, because he fucking hate tripping. He trips and looks up and there is the creepiest, biggest, bulbous looking fucking dude in a weird mask with a ball peen hammer.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. A mallet. He has a mallet in his hand and he like trips and then just fucking clobbers him in the head and continues to clobber him as his body is convulsing on the ground.
Yeah, no, it is one of the, because there's no discussion.
No, and there's no music.
No.
There are no music cues to allow to let you know that this is happening. In fact, what you hear briefly, if you have really good like sound quality on this, and I mean think about it, like a lot of us grew up with this as a VHS, we didn't really have good sound quality, so the chances of us hearing this are very slim. But when he gets closer to the door where he's gonna trip, you hear this like sound that sounds very similar to like a pig.
Okay. So yeah, and in the, you know, we got the creepy mask, kind of an afro through the mask. Mm-hmm. And the butcher's apron.
The yellow butcher's apron.
Yeah, letting us know, like, I have worn this many fucking years. It is weathered and worn, and I know what the fuck I am doing. It is, his presence is so fucking terrifying, and you're just not ready for it. I don't care who you are. You are not ready for Leatherface's like first fucking appearance on the screen. Without the music, without like the background noise, without, you know, the begging or pleading. He does like no time to do anything. It is just, and it's so fucking Texas perfect. It, like, I found a stranger in my house. Yep.
Yeah, fucking hit him with a mallet.
Yeah. You know,
until he like convulses on the ground.
Right. Yeah. No. And we're not stopping, because that's always my problem in horror movies. They, you know, knock somebody down and then the lady runs away and I go, don't fucking stop.
Yeah. And what's really interesting about this scene is that not only do we have no music cues at all to go by, but when he gets hit in the head with the mallet, there's no blood. In fact, this is a very bloodless horror film. And what's interesting about this is that Tobe Hooper originally submitted this to the MPAA with the hope of getting, wait for it, a PG rating.
Oh my God. How?
Right. Because there's no blood.
Stop it.
I'm totes serious. This is an actual thing that happened.
God, I love you. This is how I got here, folks. I know none of this. Again, I literally just fucking love horror. The fact that there's so much like backstory, and now we've learned Retrograde. Oh God, what a good day.
What a great day this is, right? What a great day.
PG rating. Could you? I'm just trying to fucking imagine showing this to my kids, who would be suitable to watch this, according to Tobe.
Exactly. Like, it doesn't really make much sense, but yes, Tobe Hooper originally submitted this to the MPAA in the thoughts that he was like, well, there's no blood, there's no sex, there's no nudity, there's no bad language, so technically this is a PG-rated film.
God bless him. Like, absolutely fucking not. But
no.
And
they said to him that they said to him that the content of the film was so incredibly disturbing that it absolutely had. In fact, the first rating that it got was an X.
Yeah, no, I was, That's what I thought you were going to say, is that he was hoping to get an X rating and, like, just to make it all the more, like, interesting and daring and an X-rated movie for our first date night in the drive-in. Like, that's what I really thought we were going. So the fact that we went to a PG has me fucking stuck on stupid right now.
Yeah, exactly. So, like... So, like, Goonies is a fucking PG rating.
Right. I'm, like, we are just a step above Finding Fucking Nemo, according to
Toby Hooper. Yeah. Great, yes. So, so what's really cool about this scene that I love that really, like, kind of hammers it home, ha, pun firmly intended, is that after he hits him with the mallet and he's fucking, like, convulsing on the ground, Leatherface grabs him, pulls him into whatever that room is, and slams the door. And this is one of the only little bit cues of music that we get, is this, like, just booming fucking tone that lets you know we are not fucking around.
Yeah, no, like, that door is just iconic.
Yeah,
like, just it, you know, it opens and he's right there, and then that's it. And just I can honestly remember just in my stomach being like, I don't want to know what's behind that door but right, please show me.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Ah, so good.
So then, of course, girlfriend Pam is hanging out. She's just kind of hanging out there, and she's like, hey, my boyfriend hasn't come back from the house yet. I think I'll go look for him.
Yeah.
And which, by the way, you out of luck. Seriously, yeah. You're fucking out of luck, dude. I would go back to the grandma's house and I'd be like, hey, you know, we're safety in numbers,
yeah,
right?
Go get reinforcements.
Let's get a bunch of people to come and try to find your stupid ass
boyfriend. Yeah, no. The fact that she then goes into the house.
Stop.
Yeah, like Pam. Pammy Pam. I just...
Girl. Yeah. And it's also really uncomfortable to watch that she's basically in these, like, she has these cutoff shorts on and a bathing suit. So she's very vulnerable.
Yeah, no, very long-legged, very tan. She was definitely, like, the sexy one. Like, you know, Sally was the blonde hair, blue-eyed girl, but she's, you know, very dressed, you know, and, yeah, Pam is definitely supposed to be the, you know, the sexy one.
Right, like, it was, like, I like horoscopes and cocksucking.
Yeah, good for you, Pam. Yeah, who doesn't?
Right. Maybe. So she goes into the house, and, okay, correct me. Oh, yes, right. Okay, so she goes into the house. She encounters Leatherface. She freaks out. She starts to run out of the house, and Leatherface basically bear hugs her from behind.
From behind. That is honestly, when you think about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, her running out of the house, and you just see him bear hug her and drag her back in, that is the image that I have for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That is the picture.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So he takes her back to the room and puts her on a hook. And the interesting thing about this scene is that you don't see him necessarily put her on a hook. What you see is the hook and then her, and then him lifting her up, and then a wash tub underneath her, which is supposed to be there to catch all the blood.
Yeah. And her just trying to, like, pull the thing out of her back, like, so fucking uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
So fucking uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
Okay. All right. So then, okay.
Then we go back to the house, and it's Franklin,
Sally,
and
Jerry.
And then Jerry's like, I'm going to go look for them. And then Jerry leaves. And then it's Sally and Franklin at the car, and it's dark.
Okay. And then Jerry goes into the house yet again.
Right. Why does everybody keep going into the fucking house?
Oh, it's important to point out, we did miss one very important thing. When Pam goes into the house, she goes into several rooms.
Yeah.
And she ends up encountering this one room that I swear to God would make vegans just piss their pants, which just has nothing but animal bones and feathers and furniture that is made out of, like, bones, and we don't know what kind of bones. It's very Ed Gein.
Yeah, very Ed Gein. And, like, some of them, you know, it looks like it could be like, you know, bird or animal bones, but then there's definitely like a femur.
Like a rib cage.
Yeah, like a rib cage. And then it's just like, okay, that's a way too big of a shoulder blade for it to be human, but that's a hand. And that's a cow bone. And it, like, it is just bone fucking central. And then she sees the two people upstairs in the room that have the masks on.
Right. Yeah. And then that's it. So then we're back at, so Jerry goes to explore the house once again. Obviously. Jerry goes into the house and he ends up in the back room, and he, this part always freaked me out too.
Yeah.
Is that he opens up the cooler. Yeah. Yeah. He opens up this like cooler, deep freeze, and she's in there and she's still alive.
Yeah, no, she pops up. She pops up and I, like, they shot it so fast. Because initially, like, he opens it and you're still trying to see what you're looking at. Like, it has hair, but is it Pam? Is it not? And then it instantly, she is up in your face.
Right. And she's blue.
Yeah, but can still fucking breathe.
Yeah, that's a thinker. So Jerry gets killed. How does Jerry get killed?
This is a good question. We should ask the audience.
Audience, if you remember how Jerry gets killed, please comment in our comments. So we know Jerry gets killed. And Franklin and Sally are at the car and it's dark.
Yeah.
And okay.
She wants the flashlight to go, and she's like, I'm just going to go then without the flashlight, and I'm going to go to the swimming hole. And he says, I'm going to follow you there in my fucking wheelchair.
Right, with the flashlight.
Yeah, and so, yeah, they take off through the fucking woods to go to the fucking house.
And then Franklin says, Sally, stop, I hear something. And it's like, you don't even, your brain as an audience member does not have the chance or the time,
yep,
to prepare yourself for what happens next.
Yeah, of him just having the chainsaw in, yeah, the woods. Just, and just,
and it's like, Sally, stop, I hear something, stop. Boom, chainsaw, fucking attack.
Yeah.
Franklin, gone.
Yeah, just, it is, there are no moments to even think, oh, this is what I would do if I was in this situation. Your brain can't keep up with the pace of the film. And I don't see that a lot. So many times, you know, it's like the slow walk, things of, right, that nature.
You're almost prepared, especially, yeah, with our horror background. Yeah. You're prepared for the cues.
Yes.
You know, like even with Evil Dead, which I love and has a bunch of jump scares in it, and I still scream at it. Like, you can kind of prepare yourself because it's almost like if you know the beats,
yeah,
you know, it's like look, back, scare. Right?
Yeah, yeah, very, and yeah, being prepared for those things. You know, Freddy talks to you and he's cutting up before you really have to like fucking battle and things like that. You do not have a fucking chance to even grasp of, this is what I would do in that situation.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You're wheeling your, you know, brother through the woods, right, okay, with like branches. It's fucking dark. All you have is a flashlight and some fucking bananas dude jumps out with a chainsaw.
Right.
I can't even imagine seeing this shit at the fucking drive-in.
No. I probably would have just shit. Literally, like... Yeah, so no, we wouldn't have gotten it in, because I would have been like, so, is your dick still on the table? Because I'm scared, and they're just like, did you shit your pants? It's actually way less sexy than...
Oh, God. Sorry about your car.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay, so...
I'm going to leave a mark.
Chainsaw, fucking Franklin, dead. Sally... somehow ends up back at the gas station.
Yes.
Okay. So she ends up back at the gas station and she's crying. And so let me talk about Marilyn Burns for a second. Rest in peace, by the way. Marilyn Burns is one of the best final girls that ever graced the horror silver screen. I cannot even imagine the level of trauma that she puts herself through in this film just to get this insane last 20-minute performance.
Yeah, she is probably one of the best final girls. You know, you hear about like the Jamie Lee Curtises, but like Jamie Lee did a whole lot of like just like run away. Like,
yeah, she did a lot of hiding.
Yeah, a lot of running and hide. And Sally doesn't have that fucking option. Like, there's nowhere to go. The truck is out of gas, and now they don't have the keys. My brother was just murdered by a fucking chainsaw, and I did nothing wrong. I didn't go into the house. I didn't go looking for fucking trouble. I didn't do anything, and I'm just being fucking attacked. Like,
I'm just hanging out here with my blonde hair.
Right. And, like, the other ones I wrap my brain around of you broke into somebody's fucking house. And not like you should attack people with chainsaws and murder them. But, like, my brain accepts consequence, mm-hmm. you know, like, fuck around and find out. I understand fuck around and find out. She didn't fuck around, and she's just finding out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she goes for it.
She ends up back at the gas station, and we see the owner of the gas station and the owner of the barbecue joint, which is Drayton Sawyer. Now, you don't know that this dude's name is Drayton Sawyer in this film. This is something that you will learn later on in Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2. In Part 1, he's basically just called The Cook.
Oh, okay. Oh, why do I know that he's... Oh, probably because I've seen two.
Okay. So, yeah, I just know that he's...
So, here's a big question for you, because I would... No, 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 no. I was
it's
like...
It's a setup, guys. No. I'm being set up by my podcast partner.
I was like this year old when I found this out. I operated under the idea for about 20 years that the cook was the daddy.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
No.
Oh. He's their brother.
I didn't know that.
He's the other brother.
I thought dad too.
Yeah.
Totes thought dad. Exactly. So I know.
Right?
Yeah. I found that out and was like, wait, why? He's the fucking... So the cook is the brother?
I mean, it makes sense when I'm thinking
about... But he's older.
Yeah, he's... Right. But older brother. Older but brother. Yeah, the fact that I did think that it was dad, now thinking about... I mean, it tracks.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
So it's kind of funny because Jim Sidos does such a great job with this role, right? Because he plays this role as kind of like a combination of like silly and grandfatherly and then just downright fucking sadistic, because she's in there, she's crying and she's like, you know, she's like, but they're all dead. Everyone's dead. And then she's looking around, looking at the barbecue, and she's like, that doesn't look right. And then all of a sudden, Jim Sidos fucking comes in with a broom handle and just starts beating her.
Yeah, like you do. Like, welcome to Texas.
And also gleefully. My
Yes. Oh, yeah. Joy in every hit. Okay, yeah.
And what was funny was that he wasn't hitting her hard enough when they were doing this shot. So, like, she was actually telling him, she's like, you gotta hit me harder. So, like, she ended up with, like, bruises all over her because he was fucking like, okay, I guess I gotta hit you harder.
Oh, good for you. Wait a minute. Way to sell it, Sally.
Yeah.
Way to sell it.
And she really does. And then he, like, puts her in a... Okay, first of all, could you fit in a bag?
I mean, I'm kind of flexy. And okay. I'm only 5 feet tall.
Right, so, you are very short. Yes, I got you.
So
okay.
Probably.
Right.
With my fucking gazelle legs, there's no place, there's no question that I could fucking like fit, like me actually fitting into what I believe is a burlap sack. Is that what she...
Yeah, I think, yeah. And I mean, like, they carry a lot of potatoes in them.
Okay, all right.
She's leggy too.
She is leggy, yeah. But she's also skinny.
But like... Yeah,
I
think I could fit. I'm surprised that she can fit, but if she can, I say you can.
Don't sell yourself short. We could put you in a burlap sack, Aaron.
You could be murdered in a burlap sack in Texas any day you want.
Thank you for that. Ah, self-esteem moments with Hillary and Aaron. So, he brings her back to the house, basically. Now, this is one of my favorite fucking scenes in this movie. And I only laugh at it because I think I'm just really twisted.
Yeah.
But is where the cook comes in and goes, look what your brother did to the damn door.
back to levity. Oh, I did forget about
one
that.
One moment of have levity, and that's fucking it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. I did. I forgot about that line. Yeah.
So they get in there, and then I did. Okay. So this is going to be hard. Yeah. Do they hit her in the burlap sack, and then she wakes up at the dinner table?
I believe so. That's okay. How I remember it.
Okay.
That's how I remember it, too. So she wakes up at the dinner table. She is tied to basically a human body part chair.
Yes. Very Ed Gein. I've honestly just tried to put myself in that, like, you know, everybody's dead. I'm running through the fucking woods. There's a guy with a chainsaw. I go to get help. The help takes me back to the chainsaw guy. I'm unconscious and I wake up and I am now attached to a human person bone chair.
And all I can do is scream. And my screams seem to make their erections bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. No. See, I don't think that I would scream. I think, honestly, shock and just fucking disassociation.
Right.
At
some point, just resolution. Like, I'm going to die here with these fucking nut bars.
Yeah. Like, my best case scenario would be to act like this is fucking great.
Like, that's smart.
Yeah, of just like, oh my God, thank you for killing, you know, my handicapped cripple fucking brother. Like, yeah, you know, just, I need to fit in, and I'm probably gonna have to fuck the chainsaw guy, run it. Whose old lady am I gonna be here? Like, we are in straight fucking survival. I'm totally in. I have friends back home. Actually, they're fat, so they're going to taste so much better than me. Let's go get all my fat friends. I'll take the one person that I think that I can beat up on the road with me and go.
You really brought this shit home today.
Well, I did. I gotta think about how to survive.
Right. We were really worried about this Patreon today. I gotta be honest with you, audience. We were like, oh shit, we gotta do a Patreon. And we pulled this one out of our ass at the very last minute. And Hillary totally brought it. As per usual, you've been fucking... 2023 has been your year, baby.
It has not. We're going into 2024, I assure you, with a better attitude.
As in, podcasting wise.
Oh. Podcasting, it might have been my year. Absolutely. But in every other aspect of my life, it has been fuck Hillary in the ass. Dry.
Yes. Jesus Christ. So we're at this dining room table, and then they basically say, "Wait, we forgot Grandpa."
Yeah,
gotta get Grandpa. It's family dinner.
So they go up and they get this what looks like an old man. Now, fun fact about this scene. This scene, the dining room table scene, the dinner scene as it's called, the dinner scene had to be filmed in one take, and it had to be filmed in one day because the guy who is in the old man makeup was like a very young guy. He was actually like a college kid kind of thing. He refused to go back into the makeup a second time. So he basically forced the crew and everybody to have to film all of this in one day, which is why everyone looks like they are just batshit nuts. Everyone's sweating profusely. Sally is losing her shit, in the cinema verite, it was a good idea, right? But at the same time, it's like, oh my God, how fucking horrible that is.
Yeah, I just... One, I didn't think that you could do that after signing on to a part, but I really just feel like I would have replaced you because you're in makeup anyway.
Right.
So, like...
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Like, let's go down to the corner store. Hey, here's $50. You're going to be head to toe in fucking makeup and unidentifiable.
Exactly. Like, we're going to throw this plaster of Paris on you and see what happens.
Right. So, I actually find that, like, good on Toby for listening and just going, like, okay.
All right, why not, right? So
that would have been me. I would have said no.
So they're filming. Yeah. So it's gross and everything is just disgusting and whatever on the like the table is gross. Everything smells bad. You know, crew members are passing out. It's fucking. Ugh. And the windows are blacked.
Yeah.
The windows are blacked out. So it's even hotter.
Yeah. You can like smell the room, which is just this was one of the. Need a shower fucking rooms of just the dirt and the sweat and the grime and the rot, and you just feel it on you. Like, it permeates your pores through a fucking screen.
Which is just, what's really great about this movie is a very visceral experience. For being a film that doesn't have any blood or guts in it, I mean, in comparison to, say, TCM 2, which is just, like, splatter, you know, just all of, like, just gore, and it's a lot of shit, right? And then to come with, like, part one, and there are a lot of people, especially younger horror fans, who find this movie boring, or they find this movie, like, because it's bloodless, or because it doesn't have that sort of consistent MTV, Michael Bay, burnt, 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 kill, 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 you know, weird camera angle, kill, kill, kill. Because it doesn't have that, because it's very stark, and because it is shot, as you said, like a snuff film.
Yeah.
People are like, meh.
I don't get it. I don't get how you can go into this film and say that it's boring. Yeah, I just, you know, like, there are, it's slow building. You know, it is, I do agree that there, it is a slow burn type horror film. And then just every so often you get a gruesome, like, painful to watch and experience murder. And then the film just keeps going. So you don't have time to, like, process what I'm watching. It's not the long, drawn-out scenes. It's not the running and the fucking... we do have the run chase through the fucking woods.
Mm-hmm. But which also makes me uncomfortable because she gets cut by branches.
Yeah, yeah, whoa. Yeah. Just, you're getting whipped with branches and thorns and everything else. But other than that, it's just...
Yep.
It is painful to watch, and your brain can't keep up with what you are fucking seeing. Not mine.
No. So then, when they wheel Grandpa out and they put him in the chair, they give him a mallet, and then they put her in, like, a washtub. Like, she put her head over a washtub and basically, like, put the mallet in his hand, and they're like, okay, Grandpa, like, you know, and he's basically, like, trying to... And they cut her finger and feed it to the granddaddy.
Yeah. He's hitting her. Like, I don't know if you remember this game from being a kid, but Don't Break the Ice.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And you got to tap. Yeah. Right, like, right. The ice things down while still. And that is how he is hitting her. And that's what I think of when he's hitting her. I go, don't break the ice, Grandpa.
Oh, my God.
But he wants to break the ice and crack her head open and has no strength to do it.
And this is the one moment that she sees where she's like, okay, you know, he slips and then he keeps slipping. And then she's like, fuck this nonsense. And she fucking gets up and she jumps out a goddamn window.
Yeah, finally. Because there are so many times in horror movies where people get to the window and then they're trying to open it and flash, and then what can I break it with? And I go, listen, you are fucking running like that from somebody who has a knife, a weapon, a fire poker, whatever, and you are running straight for a fucking window, you will get through it. Unless it's, you know, that armor proof fucking plexiglass shit. Right. But yeah. Like, just
weatherproof windows.
Yeah. Just go for it. Because what is happening to you in the house is going to be worse than a fucking cut. At best, you will take yourself out, and now the fun is over anyway.
Exactly. So she jumps out the window, and she ends up on the highway, and she flags somebody down, and the first thing that happens is they're like the hitchhiker, mm-hmm. You know, runs after her, and then the semi fucking runs down
the
hitchhiker completely, like, just fucking done,
the fuck down.
Down.
Leatherface makes his appearance. He's got his fucking chainsaw, and he goes after like a truck pulls over, like a pickup truck pulls over, and a nice man in a yellow shirt gets out, and he's like gonna help her, and he sees the fucking dude with the chains on, and he's like, fuck you, and he throws, is it a hammer?
Yes.
Okay, because he throws something at his head,
yeah,
which knocks him out and causes him to actually chainsaw his fucking thigh.
Yeah, which is great. Great aim, guy from fucking Texas. So absolutely believe that.
Right.
And yeah, no, that is one of those, like, you, like, the flesh with the, like, because it is a shot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And even he responds to it. He's like, ah!
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah. In, yeah. which is a weird noise for Leatherface to make. Like, when he makes it.
He makes some weirdly strange noises. Another thing to point out is in the dinner scene, Leatherface has put on, like, his best, right? He is actually in full-on lipstick with the fucking mask and is wearing what kind of resembles to be a maid's outfit on the outside.
Very Rocky Horror Picture Show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Yeah.
He reminds me of Frankenfurter.
Right.
If Frankenfurter was more crazy.
Yeah,
exactly. If it's possible, yeah. Right?
If you put Frankenfurter in Texas, you have Leatherface.
So Leatherface chainsaws himself. And then she gets into the back of the pickup truck and the pickup truck pulls away. And as it's pulling away, this is one of my favorite scenes. As it's pulling away, she does this combination of laughing and crying at the same time. Like, just fucking hysterical.
Yeah, no, she had her descent into madness is officially fucking complete.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. So the car pulls away and then we get this beautiful fucking shot of this, like, sunrise?
Yeah, because okay, it was dark. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Sunrise and Leatherface doing this, like, dance?
Yeah.
This, like, spin with his chainsaw and then credits, motherfuckers.
Yep. Yeah. Dance Moms Abby was probably like, I need to put that in a show on...
Dance Moms? Patreon members, thanks for tuning in to this crazy shit show of a fucking episode. We appreciate it. Thanks for subscribing. Absolutely, thanks for subscribing. And
stay manic.